35 minutes to read through the book of Ephesians. But if you're like me, sometimes when you start reading, it's like an eternity, you know, like if it's going to end and stuff. But Ephesians chapter 1, we also know that the body of which Christ is the head is laid out in this book. The Philippians focuses on the mind of Christ and the believer, and Colossians focuses on the head of the body. So you got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We understand the Bible is broken down for us, the body of Christ. Romans is a book of doctrine, right? Then you have Corinthians, it's a book of reproof. And then you have Galatians, it's a book of corrections. Then your next book is laid out, it's Ephesians, and that's a book of doctrine. And then Philippians is a book of reproof. And then Colossians is a book of corrections. And Ephesians focus on the body, the church, the body of Christ, that agency that God is going to form today and will use to establish his authority back over the heavenly places in ages to come. We'll find out some things in the book of Ephesians that we never thought of before in our life. You never dreamed that God was going to take a body of people, believers, and place them in heavenly places and there forever. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he writes to Ephesus, and what does it say? And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Notice that the book that he's writing to are saints that's been established. It's been established to the foundational truths. And where would they have found those foundational truths? In the Bible. Through whose books? Paul's. And primarily through the book of Romans. That's what established them. They are faithful. So they are prepared to go on to the advanced truths. If you don't have, as a believer, in your soul built up the book of doctrine that's in Romans, you may not understand what God is going to explain to us through Paul in the book of Ephesians. It may not line up with what your mind and your soul should be. So once again, you get the book of Romans down, and you get it down pat. Ephesians is called the prison epistles, and because Paul was in chains when he wrote that. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of vocation wherein ye are called." Chapter 6, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. "For which I am a bastard in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So you think about this. The fact that Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians were all written while Paul was in prison. That's why we call them a prison epistles. Now there are some people out there will take that and say this is the only books to you in the body of Christ. They say Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians, that's not really written to you. It's written for you, that type of thing. They divide Paul's epistles, and that don't make sense, does it? So anyway, Paul was in prison there, and he appears to be in prison in Acts chapter 28, verses 16. He's in Caesarea for 2 years. And then he's released and was allowed to extend his ministry even further. And then he was in prison again and released, and it was and Acts chapter 28, verse 29, he's in Rome for 2 years. I'm just giving you a little history here. And then he was executed. And Titus and Timothy was written at the close of those books in Acts. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordained elders in every city as I appointed thee." Verse 10. "For they are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars and even evil beasts. He's showing Titus what to expect while he's gone. So he's talking to them a little bit. That's sometimes after Acts 28, by the way. That's what I was trying to get there. He was there and then he sent them on. And Paul takes Titus to Crete and there they minister. And then he goes on to Ephesus after that in Acts chapter 20. He warns the Ephesian elders that after he leaves them, people are going to depart from the faith. This is why he said faithful ones. And later he writes to Timothy after Acts 20, and Paul tells Timothy that they will depart. And you know what? While he was writing that letter and he gives it to Timothy, they was departing from the faith. And before he was released from prison, they was departing from the faith. It's just like you're coming into the knowledge of the truth. You were saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. And all of a sudden, you get established in this message and you get pulled away and you depart from this message. That's what he's talking about. That's not being faithful, is it? It's not being faithful at all. So Paul is jailed again and there's time he's there. In 2 Timothy 2:4. So by the end of Acts, it is important to know which prison epistles that Paul wrote for Ephesians. So that's, I try to give you a little groundwork. I know I was going extremely fast through that, but just give you a little groundwork for that. That's a lot of information there. If you go back to the book of Acts and you see where Paul was at, you can line up all this. He's bound under a house arrest. And what importance about the prison epistles being written at the end of the book of Acts, because Paul had completed the written word of God. See, that's very, very important to know that by the end of Acts, he says, I fulfilled the word of God. So there's no more word being written at this time. And I know what a lot of people say about John. He was on the island of Patmos, and after it was 90 AD, he wrote Revelations. Well, I believe Paul. Who's to say that John didn't write that before Paul wrote his? Paul fulfilled the word of God in the dispensation of grace, and you don't have to look at no more writings to find out what God is doing today. So the prison epistles brings the completion, the standard, and the final revelation for the dispensation of grace. Many of you know that. Many of you rejoice in that. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are companion books written about the same time. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and the faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6:21 says, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. You see that? So here's a guy that's been with him, and so when you look at Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, you're going to see they're compared, especially Colossians. They compare a lot. So there's nothing, you know that old saying like, why should you reinvent the wheel? You know, you could proclaim some things and get the truth out, and you take that truth and you give it to somebody else. Tychicus and Ephesians is going to go by Colossus and drop off the epistles to Colossae. Okay? With Onesimus. You know who Onesimus was? He was a runaway slave. He ran away because he didn't want to be in bondage, and he got saved, didn't he? And Paul, you know what Paul told him to do?
Go back.
And take this truth to him. You know? That takes boldness, don't it? Because I might have kept running. Okay, I'll do what you say. But he had truth, and that truth was that liberty. You know, that's what we need, isn't it? We don't want bondage and stuff. We want liberty. So Tychicus goes on to Ephesus with Ephesians. Now, Ephesians and Colossians is what we call twin books. That's what I mentioned a little while ago. They're very similar in things. Compare. Let's compare some passages. You're in Colossians, and get Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Keep your hand in Ephesians. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See that? Okay. Look at Ephesians 1:10. That in this dispensation of the fullness of times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So they're backing up each other, and this is good. You know, this is really good. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, the effectual working of his power. And to me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. That said a lot right there, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we'll break that down, you know, as we get through there. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Here's how he explains to the Colossians. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That's Ephesians chapter 3, we just finished. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. He condensed it, didn't he? You know why? Because once you go through Ephesians, and that we are, when you get over here in Colossians and you understand what he's doing about the head, the body of Christ, you don't have to worry about all that detailed. See? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Compare that to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ephesians, you can compare Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3 again and over and over and over. These things are very, very important because Colossians is a complimentary book on Ephesians. Just like Galatians and Corinthians are commentaries to the book of Romans. You start out with the book of Romans, you get that doctrine down, and then you go over here to Corinthians and Galatians, and they back up what they said in Romans. So Ephesians 1, the word Ephesus there. Ephesus is an outline. Okay? You go to Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The outline in this epistle is a circular epistle intended to be copied and passed on to all believers. See, they copied it and carried it on to all these believers out there. The first three chapters is known as the doctrine or the standing. So when we go through this, it's always produce duty. So you get that doctrine down, those first three chapters that we go over, it's a standing. You get it down inside of you, and it produces duty, which produces wealth, and it produces position. Not the type of wealth that you see going out here and riding around in $56 million airplanes, you know, or building a building fund over here, that type of thing. It's wealth in Christ Jesus that you build up inside of you. You know you're rich. You know what I mean? You know you have all the riches and glory that's given to you. But sometimes we want it now, don't we? Our flesh wants everything right now. And when this is where that doctrine starts to get effect, and we understand that's not who we are, our standing. Then chapter 4 through 6 is our duty, our walk, our conduct of the body. That's our state. And our responsibilities for Christ. And this is a national response to the doctrine. Doctrine always produces, the purpose is always to produce duty. If you get that doctrine inside of you, the right doctrine that's laid out through Paul's epistles, it's going to produce in you a certain duty that you're going to know how to walk. You're going to know how to talk. You're going to know how to perform yourself. Not just let your emotions go all over the place. You know what I mean? We've been there and done that, haven't we? You know, so I think back years and years ago and many more that my emotions made some decisions that wasn't too pleasing to who I was in Christ. See? And so what did I have to do? I had to line my position back up under who I was in Christ to understand what He's doing. The prayer and the doctrine is enlightening. Duty empowers to that inner man. All this stuff we're going to go over. A key verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Here's a very key verse. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless. So what it says? Who what? Who hath. You know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. It's a done deal. Who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings, because we're still wanting more. All spiritual blessings were in heavenly places in Christ. That is a key verse, because spiritual blessings to speak well of, that's what it means to speak well of, we're at in heavenly places. So we already got them up there. We already got them all. But we as humans, in our own human viewpoint, we can't understand that sometimes. You know that? Sometimes our mind is not lining up with what God's saying, and guess what we do? We kind of put that on a back burner for a little while. And we decide, you know something? I believe this is what it is. Or I'm going to do it else. You ever done that? You never did that when you was a child to your parents, did you? You know, we was talking the other day, just yesterday, and this guy was talking about another campground somewhere down there, Ponderosa or something like that, and they used to have these big concerts coming down. And he lived outside of there, and his mother's saying, don't go down there in those woods. Because that's where all the, I don't want to say hippies or, you know, performers or whatever, that's where they was at, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, so it's just like, don't go down there. And I said, she said the magic word, didn't she? Don't. Guess what he did? He went right down there and did all that. So that's what he wanted to do. But what I'm trying to get my mind back around where I was going with that, but you know, but the thing is just that that's what he wanted to do. But if you lined up your mind to what your parents told you to do, you might have been rebellious, but at the same time, you would have said, okay. There's all kinds of outlines in the book of Ephesians that you can go over, and we don't do much outlining here, but eternal foundation is found in chapter 1, if you want to write this down.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, it's about the eternal foundations, and that's in Christ. Then there's a universal scope, and that's in chapter 2. Universal scope. Then there's a lofty goal. That's in Ephesians chapter 3. You got chapter 1, eternal foundation in Christ. Chapter 2 is a universal scope. And many of you know what I'm talking about already, because there's dispensational changes there that you're going to talk about. Well, we talk about, remember, in times past, you was alienated. That's a universal. Without that dispensational change, you and I would still be alienated from Jesus Christ. Then the lofty goal is chapter 3. Then you have an organic unity in chapters 4, verses 1 through 16.
What was that called again?
Organic unity. Then you have a glorious renewal in chapter 4, verses 17 all the way over to chapter 6, verse 9. Then you have the, yes?
What was the last one?
Glorious renewal.
Did they have the verses in chapter 4?
Verses 17 through chapter 6 and through verse 9. Then you have the effective armor in chapter 6, verse 10 through 24.
What kind of armor again?
Effective. It's funny because when we get to that point, he gives us the whole armor of God over here, and it's almost like we should have had it on all the time. But when I shared with you before, when he writes the book of Ephesians, things are starting to depart. You have to have that armor on. And there are six pieces of armor. And then and verse 18 talks about the prayer. That's the seventh one. Seventh is complete in Christ Jesus. The local assembly is to be a reflection of that actual body of Christ. Did y'all get all that before? Okay. So much like the lesson last week when we talked about who we are in Christ and who we are at local church, we need to be effective with that, or reflection of the actual body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 says, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. If you got another version, right after it says that the Gentiles, it says with Israel. See, that's an error. Because you don't have joint fellowship with Israel. The Gentiles will be fellow with outside the nation of Israel. So the key verse, and one of the things here, Paul assumes that they know what the gospel is. See that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the what?
Gospel.
He don't. One thing you'll see in Ephesians, he don't break down that gospel like he did in Romans. See, they know that. They're more mature. The Ephesians are more mature in understanding, and that's where we should be at by now in the local church of who we are in Christ Jesus, and we know what the gospel is. We don't worry about the gospel of the kingdom. We don't worry about the gospel of circumcision. With me? You know what the gospel saves you. the gospel of God is that God had good news that he was going to send a woman, a seed of a woman, to crush the heel of the head, the serpent. That news was good news all through God's any dispensation. And then the gospel of Christ is that Christ came and died and was buried and rose again. That's what saves us, believing that. And the reason why people can't get this mystery that we're going that goes in advanced truths is because they didn't get Romans to begin with. Because if you really got Romans down, then that's inside your soul. You don't worry about being justified no more. You know that. Forever settled. Amen? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about stumbling and falling. If you stumble and fall, God don't hold that against you. Then Romans 6, 7, 8 has to do with sanctification. You set yourself apart. It's hard. I know. But you set yourself apart. He lays it out. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. You're dead to flesh. If you're dead to it, what good is it? Who brings it up? We do. And then Romans 9, 10, 11, it talks about the dispensational view of what God is doing with the nation of Israel in the dispensation of grace. Then 12 through 16 has to do with application. How do you apply that doctrine in your daily walk and who you are to get you through this nasty now and now? So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A few more verses here. Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 17. And you might as well mark this down because I'm not going to read all these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 all the way over to chapter 2 verse 26, which would be a lot of reading.
1 Corinthians, what is it?
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 over chapter 2 verse 26. There's a lot of information there. Their dependence was on human viewpoint. And if you read that, you understand Paul had to reproof their behavior. And they failed to get the Romans settling in their thinking and in their souls. Okay? That's what the book... Now, we find in Corinthians the gospel that saves us. But you know that Corinthian church was not a model church. They fornicated. They did things in there that wasn't pertaining to the Gentiles that they was doing. And they were saved. And Paul was reproofing them about their behavior. So much that he wrote another letter about it. You know? Yeah. So how do you get that proof? They got the doctrine, but they didn't get it down in their souls. So they kept thinking about who I am, what I wanted. And then Paul tears them up. And they failed it. The key impression back there in Ephesians chapter 6, 3. Excuse me. Ephesians 1, 3. What's that last three words? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. In who?
Christ
Jesus. That's the expressing that we should be getting. Everything is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saints in the eyes of God. And this is the status regarding to how we behave. Isn't that true? I mean, do we want people to see us behaving abnormal like we was in the flesh? I don't want. But you know, when they do, I can be first one to tell you I'm in the flesh. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you I'm in the flesh. It's not a good thing to be in the flesh. You know that? Especially when you disagree with somebody. Paul would never have called the saints at Corinth faithful. This is where I'm getting at. You read that. He can't call them faithful in what they were doing.
But yet they're still saved.
But what does he call the faithful in Ephesus? And because they did not have the foundation and the preliminary and the information prepared properly laid out. Paul went over in Corinth and started those churches and laid the foundation out, was based in Romans, but they didn't get it. You know, they were still saved. They believed the gospel, but when it came down to their flesh and who they wanted to be, they totally ignored that. And that's why he couldn't call them faithful. Looking for 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 1. Paul, called to be apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and was it Sosthenes, our brother? Where's the, and the faithful that are in Christ? Where's it at? Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the brethren could not speak unto you.
And I, brethren,
could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, and for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Does that sound like somebody faithful in the doctrine? No. Chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, is it required in stewardship that a man be found what? Faithful. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, if you got a Corinthian mind, if you got a Corinthian body, guess what? This ain't going to make sense to you, and you're not going to be faithful. God through Paul would not commit that to faithful men. Now, they're still saved. That ain't the issue. The issue is being faithful with what God gave you, and what God, that's why he says in Ephesus that their souls were established in his foundational truths, and they got the doctrine in Romans. You don't find that disruptive, you know, hey, I'm going over and spank you attitude like you did in Corinthians. That's why you move on. And that's what's very, very important for us to understand who we are in the body of Christ. Look at, I'm going to finish this up. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Get Ephesians and Colossians 3. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the rewards of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of person. Grace doesn't do away with accountability. Now, I know many people out there that got to hold this message, got to hold this grace message, and got liberty, and their accountability, they didn't want to be accountable no more. This message should make you accountable who you are, but rather allows you to be accountable. See, when I chose to be the bishop and start a church, I knew in my heart that it meant to be accountable. I am accountable for what goes on here. You with me? And the faithful men that we're talking about, they're made accountable. And I will go far as you women too, you're held accountable. It's not just the men. We're all held accountable. 2 Timothy 2. Well, we shall be also receive a reward. 2 Timothy 2.
What verse, chapter?
2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. And if we believe not, yet he abide faithful, he cannot deny himself. That position in him is designed to be an equal walk. That's who we're supposed to be. We're going to be held accountable, understanding that mystery truth. Now we're going to have to start tightening our belts, guys. You know, now the rubber's going to start hitting the road, that we're going to find out some things who we are in Christ Jesus, not only for in this body of Christ that we're here today, but to understand what our positions are in the heavenly places. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for so much in our life. And as we continue our lesson through Ephesians, let we understand that there is a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear first that Christ came and died for their sins. And then we can explain to them some more advanced truths that's set forth in the book of Ephesians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.